Hello, my name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guests on With Respect are Lisa Vetney and Nikki Holt, and they are collaborators in producing an interesting book, which is just coming out. It's called Discover St. Joseph, an alphabetical tour book for all ages. And we're going to find out what that means. We're going to be talking about St. Joseph and how they got going on this and a number of things that I find interesting about this book. So, with respect, Lisa Vetney and Nikki Holt. We'll be right back. So, Lisa, Nikki, how are you today?
We're great.
Great, thank you.
All right, let's start with the basics. Nikki.
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Canton, Michigan, outside Detroit.
Yeah, I've been there, campaigned there back many years ago.
Yeah.
Interesting place.
Yes.
I can't remember where I was, but I do remember being in Canton. How about you, Lisa?
I graduated high school from Buchanan, Michigan, not too far from St. Joe.
Mm-hmm. And, all right, what happened? Let's start with you, Nikki. You started at Canton, but now you are here in St. Joe.
Yes.
All right. Take me back to your family. What is your family like? What brought you into the idea of photography?
A very roundabout sort of way.
Okay.
In high school, I randomly took a photography class as an elective. I fell in love with it, but had every intention of becoming a veterinarian. So that was never even in my mind to be a photographer or an artist in any way. I always enjoyed art, and I used photography a lot to take nature pictures, going on hikes and whatnot. I, after high school, went on to Michigan State, enrolled in their Lyman Briggs Residential Science College, and completed a year there, my first year. And on a whim, somebody told me, oh, you should apply for a job as a photographer at the State News, which is the student newspaper there.
Mm-hmm.
I got the job, and I loved it. And I, on a whim, changed my major and became an art major and ended up graduating with a BFA in photography.
Okay, but what interested you? Why?
I think I love portraiture. First of all, taking pictures of people, capturing emotion and feeling through photography. I really fell in love with black and white photography. That was my original. You have to make a living though, right? So making a living as an artist is not the easiest task. So I think there was something about. And maybe the science part of me, too, I enjoyed, this will date me, but I enjoyed working in the darkroom. I spent hours and hours, shooting film and working in the darkroom. And there's just, anyone who's ever worked in a darkroom can relate. There's nothing like watching your picture appear under those red lights in the darkroom. It's just kind of, it's a feeling that, I don't know, I don't really have a word to describe, but it's quite.
You know, it's interesting. I started off when I was in high school, even before that, taking pictures, and I got my dad and mom gave me a Polaroid Land camera, but before that, I did click a few on the Brownie.
I have some as decor in my house now.
I was going to say you probably put in the antique section, but at any rate, I loved it, and I got very artsy, and that black and white does something to you.
It does.
I think about Josef Karsh's stuff, where Josef Karsh was a great photographer of people, and he did some of the more famous people in the world, and one of the famous, his most famous portraits, black and white, was of Winston Churchill.
Okay.
And it was interesting because the famous picture of Winston Churchill had him frowning and looking like a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he caught that look on his face, which was, that was the image of Winston Churchill. But the reason that Karsh caught him was because they'd taken a bunch of pictures and Karsh was not quite satisfied. And one of those pictures were taken with Churchill's signature cigar that never left his hand or his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do? He went over suddenly and he grabbed the cigar and pulled it away and went and took a picture
caught that emotion
of the frowning,
in the photo. Yeah.
Very unhappy Churchill. Uh-huh. But it came across as one of the, as I say, one of the great portraits, photographic portraits, and was in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you would have to, maybe people my age or, bless you, your age, but if you talk to a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 20-year-old, they don't appreciate black and white.
No.
It's
well, you still see some fine art photography in black and white, but
yeah.
Generally speaking, you don't. Although I think, you know, a trend now is even with all the filters kids use on their phones and things, the Instagram filters and
mm-hmm.
whatnot, you'll see a lot of the sepia toned
okay.
and brown toned and then some
yeah.
black and white as
I remember
well.
Remember the sepia
yeah.
tone, that was a, I used to be very interested in the American Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have in the books that I would read, the daguerreotypes
mm-hmm. yeah.
that were old, I mean, the first of the photography.
Yeah.
And they were just stark. Again, black and white, or occasionally that sepia tone
mm-hmm.
that when you saw bodies piled up at the bloody angle at the Battle of Antietam,
mm-hmm.
it just grabbed you.
Yeah.
The starkness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, so you got out of college. Then what?
I took a job. Well, I decided I wanted to – I did – internships in photojournalism, and then I decided this is not for me because I don't want to take pictures of people in pain or things like that. So I left photography and I took a graphic design job at a dental supply company in Williamston, Michigan, just out near East Lansing, Michigan State. And I hated sitting at a desk all day working at a computer. So I thought, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? So I had a friend that lived out this way and knew a photographer that was leaving the Herald Palladium and said, oh, you should apply for that job. So I applied for a job at the Herald Palladium, and here I came. Here I stayed.
How long were you there at the Palladium?
About 3 years. I met mm-hmm. my husband there as well.
Wow.
And then I left the Palladium because, again, I said, this is not the lifestyle for me to be in. There were so many parts of photojournalism that I loved, and you really develop your skills as a photographer being a photojournalist because you have to be on all the time with your
mm-hmm.
lighting and whatnot. But it just wasn't the lifestyle for me. I knew I wanted kids and wanted a regular schedule. And so I went back to school, and I got certified to teach in art education. I taught briefly. Then my husband and I had kids, and then I taught for about 10 years at Lake Michigan College. I taught black and white photography. So that was a good schedule for me with the kids. I would teach at night. And then while I was teaching, I started my own business doing portraiture and families. And
what was the name of that again?
Which one?
What was the name of your business?
Oh, Nicolina Holt Photography.
Oh,
sorry, I said portraiture, doing portraiture. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Sorry.
Why portraiture, as opposed to, let's take what we're going to be talking about today, which is landscapes or thingscapes?
I do enjoy both, but my forte sometimes seems to lie within working with people. And like you talked about the photo of Winston Churchill, I really like capturing that emotion and feeling something when you look at the photo. Not that you can't feel it in a landscape, but I think when we're looking at people and looking at their eyes and telling a story that way, I think that's maybe my art background a little bit in there. I want to get a little more to it than just a beautiful landscape.
You know, that's interesting. Some years ago when I was U.S. attorney, I was interviewed for 2020 or ABC, whatever it was. Brian Ross was the face, and he was an investigative reporter, which he still is today. But I remember, I had been interviewed whole bunches of times. And I thought, this will be a piece of cake. And Brian wanted to know some details, wanted me to say things about my case, which is, had gotten some national attention, that I was not prepared to say. I mean, he tried to pull it out of me, and he tried every different way of doing the same question in different words.
Mm-hmm.
And I mightily, I fought him. Finally, he pulled one on me that I had never had before. And that he, what he said was, all right, well, that's good enough for that. We'll just move on. shut down the camera. By the way, John, and then he asked this informal question. I vomited out this. Thank you very much. They had it on tape, and it appeared on national television. I thought, I'll be fired for this. I will be fired for this. But now, that trick that he pulled on me,
mm-hmm.
and I, as I say, I'd seen many other tricks pulled on me, tried to be pulled on me, and I fell for every one of them once, all right? What about in your, how do you bring out that emotion, that hidden thing when you've got somebody that is just rock solid and staring at you?
Yes, that can be difficult. Certainly men are more of a challenge than women most of the time.
Why?
I think men are more guarded with their emotions. They mm-hmm. want to get in, get out, and be done,
mm-hmm.
Especially when I do families. I'm always like, get those dads prepared. This is going to take some time, especially when you're dealing with children. But I think a conversation, just like we're having, just talking about, chit-chatting about your day, your weekend, whatever sports they're interested in, and me asking them questions about themselves is usually the best way that people just really open up and become relaxed. And
in the movie The Princess Bride, when there is the poisoning scene,
yes.
The evil guy, he wants to switch cups. He points over, he says, whoa, what's that over there? And the hero turns around. He says, I didn't see anything. And he switched the cups, and of course, he poisons himself and dies. But so that little trick, do you ever pull those? Oh, look at your daughter. She's running away.
Yeah, to divert attention. There's definitely tricks I use more with kids just to get them. We all know kids have that plastic smile, the fake grins. And so when I'm doing, work for clients, then getting that natural look and that natural smile is a big thing, to not have the posed plasticky type of look in the photo. I like to go more for a natural look. Mm-hmm. And so that I have all kinds of little things I do with kids depending on the age.
Okay. We're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Lisa Vetney. Actually, we will be talking to Lisa Vetney, but right now we've been talking to Nikki Holt, who is a photographer, Nicolina Holt Photography, and the two of them collaborate on a book called Discover St. Joseph, and it's going to be fascinating. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We'll be right back with both of them and talk about themselves and their book a little bit further. This is John Smetanker, Wine with Respect, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Lisa Vetney and Nikki Holt, a.k.a., it's kind of your alias, Nicolina Holt. They've come up with a book which they collaborated on called Discover St. Joseph, which has just been released, and hopefully everybody have a chance to take a look at it in your favorite bookstores. So, now, here we go. Nikki, tell me. Lisa, tell me something about yourself. Where are you from originally? You said Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what is your work? What do you do?
I'm a graphic designer. I have my own business called Design by Lisa, mm-hmm. and I started in Buchanan, and I was a school photographer. So I went to the high schools and shot the basketball games and did the team photo, and then I graduated to the editor of the yearbook. And mm-hmm. I realized I really liked that. So then I got a summer job doing the print shop and working in the dark room and doing printing techniques. And then I decided I wanted to make a career out of that. So I applied to University of Michigan and got accepted, and I went majored in the graphic design.
Now you've compressed about 10 years of your life into about two sentences.
Okay.
So let me start with you. I haven't talked to Nikki about this, but I'm going to talk to you, and we'll come back to her on this.
Okay.
Your family, what was their background?
My family? Mm-hmm. My mom's from this area. She graduated from Niles, Michigan. My dad's from North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
How did they meet? He was in the military, and mm-hmm. my uncle and my dad worked together, and then that's how they met.
How about brothers and sisters?
I'm an only child.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know. And I have three boys, so it's the whole sibling thing is very alien to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why they fight. I don't understand. I'm like, you have food, you're loved, you have everything you want. Why are you fighting? But
No, it's important. It's a very important thing. There were two boys in our family, myself and my brother. And my mother was a genius. She was a school teacher, and my dad was a lawyer. But mom knew that we were maniacs. We were going to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
She minimized the opportunities when we could kill each other for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started the routine that lasted. It took her a long time to accomplish this, but it turned out that my brother and I became best friends, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the routine. She would say, John, do you know that your brother really loves you? No, he doesn't. He's an animal. He needs to be exterminated. No, he's told me that many times. Really? And she would go to my brother and she would say, you know, John really loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I didn't learn about that. I didn't know about this little game she was playing until it was all over, and we actually liked each other.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do, you know? So
she's
I can't go
woman.
Back on that.
Yeah.
But it was a very wise thing. It saved two murders in the house. And beyond that, there could have been prison, and they could have gone for neglect or all that kind of stuff. So she was a very smart lady. So you went to the University of Michigan. What happened there?
First of all, I fell in love with the university. I love Ann Arbor. I love everything about it. I don't know what happens when you attend Michigan. I call it brainwashing. I love it. And I am working on my sons to, you know, all go to Michigan. I went there and I don't know. I just felt like free, and I was exposed to many experiences. Like this art school, you have obviously graphic design,
mm-hmm.
you have industrial design, you have architectural, you have photography, fibers, you know, pottery, everything's there. So it was just fun for me to experience different media
mm-hmm.
and learn art history and theories and learn more about graphic design.
What grabbed you about that? Obviously, I can see your face and you're excited about it. And what about art photography or design or whatever, really catches you?
For me, graphic design is like a puzzle. You have to sort out the topography, and then you have to sort out the photography or the art illustration, and then you have to make them work together. Kind of like putting pieces together.
Do you tell a story?
Yes. It depends on what your agenda is. If you wanted it to be a soft story, you use softer colors and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. The book was a story. You know, you tell a story about St. Joe, and they're soft tones, peaceful, I think.
Mm-hmm. I remember when the old 1940s, 30s movies,
mm-hmm.
They would, whenever they wanted to get into a romance scene,
mm-hmm.
they would, the heroine most often, very rarely the hero, but the heroine would, they'd go into soft focus.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a halo around
mm-hmm.
this person. You think, it's a goddess, my God.
Yes, they did that. And, you know, the good guys always wore their white hat and
always
the bad guys.
That's right. Well, these are important things. We learned about, you know.
Yes, yes.
So what did you do? How did you, when you left the University of Michigan, what did you do? You started your own company, but what did you do?
I didn't start right away. I actually moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I freelanced. I didn't want to. I would go into interviews, and they said, well, we're not hiring, but, you know, we'll hire you as a freelancer. And I'm like, no, I just want to work. I don't want to worry about getting the next gig or whatever. So I freelanced a little bit, and then I decided I will take a job, you know, because I worked for a little bit. It was a in-house design firm, which is fine. I didn't really like that at all, because that place did a lot of brochures, and certain type of brochures, it wasn't enough variety for me.
Mm.
So when I got married, and then we moved to Washington, D.C., and I started working for a travel magazine for American Express and Marriott and for Latin America, which is kind of strange because I don't speak Spanish, but I could design for that, right? My editor helped me with what it said. So I worked in that company for a while. But again, I got really bored because, you know, it's a magazine. It's a certain size all the time. And then I found a design studio that I absolutely got to spread my wings. We did everything. Exhibits, you know, pop-ups to real custom exhibits to invitations to anything. We did everything. And I love the variety. I love creating a business, you know, designing their logo, then taking that to stationery and business card, and then banner or pop-ups, and then websites. And it's just fun to unveil or blossom a company, and each company is different.
Okay, all right, here's the deal. I'm a lawyer. I've got a law firm.
Right.
I am desperate. We need an image.
All right.
Lisa, help me. I don't know about this image stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do it? What do you do?
I always sit down and interview the people that, you know, what do you want your company to look like? What's important to you? What are the colors? And then I take all these elements and I design 2 to 6 logos. And then you pick a logo or a couple, and then we marry them, and then we make a logo that you love, of course, and then from there we make stationery and business cards and the whole thing.
That's branding.
And branding.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the latest. That's the one we talk about now. By the way, when you were talking about how you love the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, it reminded me of my brother when he went down to Washington. We were raised in politics, and as one great aunt said, our family was raised in politics, sports, and cigar smoke. But one of the things was Potomac fever. We want to go to Washington.
Yes.
So
it's a great city.
I loved it. I lived.
I assume you know a little bit, but I lived in Arlington, so between Boston Metro and Seven Corners. Do you know that a little
bit? My brother lives near the Boston Metro.
Yep, it's great. Right, my husband and I's house is right next to the Rose Garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's the rails to trails. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on the bus line.
It's a great place.
Yes.
But one of the things that he found out quickly when he got down there, he worked on the Hill, and one of the things he found out was that people don't leave Washington. They get there, however they get there, they don't leave. So it's called Potomac fever, all right? So my mother was asking him, she said, well, Ray, why don't they leave? And he said, Mom, they would rather live in the trees than leave Washington. And I think about people at Ann Arbor about the same. I would rather live in the trees than leave Ann Arbor. And some never do. They're in their minds.
It's true.
And that, by the way, applies to so many colleges and universities, that one blossoming experience. So now I'm going to start talking about your book here.
Okay.
All right. We've got a book called Discover St. Joseph. It's a thin book, but it's loaded with pictures. Tell us about it. Which one of you wants to start?
Nikki can.
Well, Lisa was the brainstorm behind this, so I feel like Lisa should. But it's a coffee table book. It's a coffee table picture book, and just as it describes in the title, it's an alphabetical tour for all ages. So Lisa's initial idea, which I was on board with, was for it to be an ABC book, more of a board book, we thought, for young kids. And then we looked into publishing a board book. We were sticker shocked. And we were like, let's rethink this. And so we met again, and we still were in love with the idea of doing this ABC journey through St. Joseph. And we said, well, we'll make it for kind of older kids, and it'll be kind of an adventure, treasure hunt type of thing where you can go and find this. Mm-hmm. So as we started through the journey of going through the letters and the process of, okay, what are we going to photograph for this? What are we going to say about that? And Lisa started designing the pages. They were so lovely that we were like, well, you know, this is almost an adult coffee table book. So we decided this could be an alphabetical tour book for all ages. And in the back, there's a map where if you're a tourist and coming to St. Joseph, you can go page by page. And letter A is here and letter B is there. And use the map as a guide for yourself to mm-hmm. see all these wonderful things that are in St. Joseph.
Well, all right. Now, this is a jump ball for the two of you. Mm-hmm. I go to a new country or a new city or whatever, and I one of the things I instinctively do is I look at the postcards, mm-hmm. and or I take pictures on my own. But you know, when I look at the postcards because I want to see what the local people think is worth taking away mm-hmm. from their community. This is the image that they want projected to the rest of the world. Now, I taught jump ball. How did you pick the particular pictures and subjects that go within? I'm going to just picking up mm-hmm. at random. I pick up N.
Well, you couldn't have picked a more perfect page.
All right, there you go.
Because that is the iconic picture of St. Joseph.
By accident.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Tell me about it.
It's the North Pier, and it's the beautiful lighthouse of St. Joseph with the red and, you know, the walkway down to the end, waves crashing. And I think when people think of St. Joseph, they think of that lighthouse. And so that's also why the lighthouse is on the cover. But we knew we needed that in the book, and so we used it for North Pier for N.
Mm-hmm. What about T for train?
Well, the Amtrak runs from St. Joseph to Chicago, and what a great, mm-hmm. for such a small town that we have a railway that will take us to Chicago and bring Chicago here to St. Joseph and enjoy the fall colors, and it runs along the lake. And
all right. Lisa, you're the brander.
Yes.
You brand this city with this book.
Mm-hmm.
What did you, if I asked you to give me one sentence or one phrase, how do you see the brand of the city of St. Joseph now that you've done this book? What is it? How do you describe this city?
Well,
all right, I'm going to give you a chance to think about
okay.
that. We're going to take a break right now.
Put her on the spot, yeah.
We're talking to Lisa Avetny and Nikki Holt, who are the co-authors and creators of a book called Discover St. Joseph, an alphabetical tour book for all ages. This is John Smetanka, Run With Respect, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Nikki Holt and Lisa Vetney, who are the co-creators of a book called Discover St. Joseph, an alphabetical tour book for the city of St. Joseph. All right, now you had plenty of time, Lisa.
Well, I was going to say that I think the city of St. Joe brands it very well. The tagline is a special place on the lake, and it truly is.
Why? What's so good about this place? I mean, you know, I've lived here for many, many years, but tell me why.
Well, I can only speak from my experience, so I'm going to back up and give you the reason why I moved to St.
There you
Joe.
Go. Sure.
I lived in D.C., and we moved from D.C. to here, mainly because we lived through 9/11, and I didn't like planes hitting the Pentagon, which was only a few miles from my house, and I love the water. So I said to my husband, let's think about this. Like, where can we live that we can go to the water relatively soon? Because in D.C., you have to go to Ocean City, and it takes forever, right, and it's traffic, and it's not fun. So we got married in St. Joe also, and we didn't live here, but we lived in Atlanta. But anyways, it's another. So we're like, what about St. Joe? It's on the lake. They have great schools because we have kids, and the people are so wonderful. And I love the downtown. It was so quaint and fun to walk that little bit. And so we actually bought a house sight unseen. It was a little crazy. No jobs, no nothing, because again, we had 9/11. So my poor husband, I said, let's put our house on the market, because we had a house in D.C., and if it sells, then it's time. Like, let's see.
It's a message.
Yeah. It was sold on the first day, so I'm thinking, well, maybe we didn't price it correctly. But no, it was right before the housing bubble in D.C. So at that time, my mother-in-law had her own practice. She was an attorney, and she was driving along Old Lakeshore, or I guess it's Lakeshore Drive, and she found this house was on a lake, and told us how much it was. And we said, at that price, we don't care. We're just going to buy it. So, of course, we said, contingent on inspection, like, we can actually live in it. So we bought it. We sold our house, packed up, and just moved here. So
gutsy. Very gutsy.
Sometimes you just have to be. But, yeah, we love it. I mean, we moved here. We didn't know anybody. Our kids were young, so they weren't really in the school system. My husband, he got a job within a couple weeks moving here. I did some freelancing, but mm-hmm. I wanted to take care of the kids. So,
mm-hmm. That was 2001,
mm-hmm.
and it's 2017. So you've been here 16 years.
Yes.
And still happy.
I love it. Yeah. Every once in a while we think, oh, let's put our house on the market and move somewhere. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And we get the map out. I'm like, where do you want to move? And I'm like, I like it here. The schools are good. And we're close to the water, and we're close to Chicago, and I love to hike. And so it's like the perfect.
Okay. All right. Now back over to you, Nikki. This book picks many different aspects of the city of this city, but also it could be any city, in that every city's got something mm-hmm. that distinguishes it. I'm going to ask you. You're also a photographer. You catch images. You catch people mm-hmm. When they're showing emotion. How would you describe? You don't get to use a special place. How would you get to describe the place?
Ooh, I wasn't prepared for that. For me, it was a little bit of a culture change. I came from the Detroit area, and I have come to love St. Joseph and the lake, just as Lisa, and I think many people here, that I can't imagine leaving. And I think of a different word besides special, but it really is, I like the slower pace of life. I like the quietness. I like the nature. I like the beauty. I can't imagine not living by the lake now. Mm-hmm. I can't. I love going home to the Detroit area, but I love coming back here because there's a serenity here that I don't have when I go home. Everything's busy. Like Lisa leaving D.C., me leaving the suburbs of Detroit area. And even I thought when I went to Michigan State, I was toning it down. Just the traffic in Lansing and East Lansing was less than the Detroit area. And then I've toned it down even more. But I find that I'm well suited to this style of life and this pace of life and just being near nature. And
so both of you are expressing much the same in the sense that you came from different environments and now you found a much more congenial atmosphere to raise kids, to live yourselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think both.
Mm-hmm. In the alphabet, mm-hmm. and excluding N for North Pier.
Yes.
What is your favorite picture?
Mine is of S, the seagulls.
Oh.
And I think that goes back to just feeling the serenity and the peacefulness of it, and I think loving animals too. But it's just a sweet picture. But I don't know what it is. I think it's just a calmness about it that I enjoy looking at it myself, and I like the color palette. It's just a neutral, calm photo.
Lisa, how about you?
I like the letter M, Maids of the Mist, because I've always loved that fountain. Something about that fountain, I just, every time I walk the bluff, because I tend to walk the bluff often because I love to go downtown, but I always stop and give like a little respect to the fountain. I love the ladies there. They're just beautiful. And when the water, when the fountain's working, you can see the water fall off them. It's just gorgeous.
It is, and it is interesting because the Maids of the Mist has different meanings in different people's lives. You see it as you walk along, and many kids who were raised here and went to high school here had their prom pictures taken. And so that is taken there, and so that's part of growing up for them. Now, your second favorite is, and why? I'll go back to you and give you a chance to think for a second. Nikki?
I'm frantically flipping through the book. Oh, it's kind of a tie. F for fountain. I love the fountain, and I also love I for ice on the pier. I think I just like the beauty in the picture. I love the power of the lake in the ice picture, the way the ice forms on the pier. That picture was a challenge. We waited a couple years for that photo, for ice to form on that pier, and just to have, just to see the power of the lake in it. And I just, I love that fountain picture, the people riding by on the bikes and the sunset and the water spraying from the fountain. And I just, that's another kind of epitome of St. Joseph right there, and the joy and the carefree, relaxed nature of summers here.
When you when you take that, whether it's the North Pier or the seagulls or the ice or whatever, one of the things that you keep coming back to, both of you keep coming back to, is water. Water is a key part of this community.
Yes.
And there is an abundance of friends of mine from all over the world come to visit for various things. Over and over and over, the first words out of their mouths when they see Lake Michigan, involuntarily they say, it's like an ocean.
Yeah,
like an ocean.
It is, yeah. It's amazing.
And these are people who have been all around the world. These are, you know, world travelers. But this image that they have in their minds that lakes are just little puddles, you know, glorified puddles.
You can see the other end.
But you can see the other end. And then all of a sudden they see the waves. And they, if they do any research, they find out, for example, that there are more wrecks in this, shipwrecks in this, in the Great Lakes, than by any stretch of the imagination they can imagine, and it's true. One of the places that I took a family of a British fellow who's a barrister and his wife and four kids. We went up to the Upper Peninsula, and we saw the shipwreck museum up at Whitefish Bay, and it was in a misty time. The fog was just kind of, as Sandberg said, creeping in on little cat's feet. And there was a silence. There was a peace. And you go into this building and you see the starkness of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and the other wrecks that have been prominent in our history. But coming back here, it's the lake. It's the pier. You can see why the pier is the hallmark. This has been all over the world. We've had iconic shots, ice, storms, big waves popping, splashing over it. But I've seen even before we had Facebook. It's just an amazing, and it catches people's attention.
Yeah.
I also think people are amazed how the color of the water changes per season. Like in the springtime, the water is more greenish.
Or even per day. I think when it's windy and it churns up the sand, you get more of the brown color. And then on those calm days, it's that beautiful blue. And
well, I hope that I'm describing one of your photographs. But there is a large collage of pictures of the sunset here in St. Joe, or in the Berrien County. And this collage shows, I think there's 30 pictures all put together in one posting. And every one of those sunsets is different. Mm-hmm. And we used to say to people who would come in ooh and ah at the sunset, mm-hmm. we'd say, every day it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a magic to the sunset in the mist. Mm-hmm. There's a magic in the beautiful with all the colors, the blues and the oranges and reds. There's a magic to anything. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I sat down besides the California coast, the west coast of Florida, mm-hmm. And I think I'm not mistaken that perhaps part of Alaska, you will see sunsets over the water. But for the most part, you don't.
It's blocked. Yeah, growing up in the Detroit area, you'd see it and it dip below the trees and
that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
That's right. There's people who are raised near water are like people who are raised near the mountains or near the plains. What they were raised with tends to get into their soul, and they're comfortable mm-hmm. when they're back in their native environment, and they're shocked when they have to get out of it. I was embarrassing. I was dating a woman many years ago, and she was her mother was here for a visit, and so I thought, hey, I'm gonna we drove all around Berrien County. They were from California, mm-hmm. and after about an hour and a half, her mother said, "Can we go now?"
Oh.
And I said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "I can't take it any longer. It's all green. I'm surrounded by green." I said, she said, "I want browns and grays." Mm-hmm. I thought, that's California.
Yeah.
That's L.A., which is where she was from.
Mm-hmm.
No greens.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what you get used to, but also it is, unfortunately, there are too many people in the larger population centers in this country who don't appreciate the beauty of what they laughingly call the great flyover.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at any rate, you've chosen a great subject. I like the way you picked out something, and I could see myself, I've got a granddaughter now, seven-month-old granddaughter. I can see myself saying, okay, Bailey, here's the deal. F, what does F stand for?
There you go.
Fountain. Oh, really? So, I didn't give you the second one.
Oh, yes.
Tell me, what is that?
I would have to say I like B. B is for blossom, and the photograph is shot in such a way I feel like I need to stick my nose right in the blossom and take all the scent.
Okay.
That's all.
Now, when people come to visit you, and you're now living in the St. Joe area, where do you first take them? Where would you say, let's go and do X? Where would it be?
The beach. We go to the beach. You take them to the, it depends if they have kids or not and ages and whatnot. But, taking that walk by the pier, taking the walk on the beach, looking for beach glass, I think that's a great, pastime and an adventure and treasure hunt for people, too, when they come to the area. I love finding fossils on the beach. I find that exciting. Maybe that's the science background, too. But definitely the beach, downtown. We have to go downtown.
I usually, my poor guests, I force them to take a walk on Silver Beach to Lions Beach.
Whoa.
But, well, at like 6, because in the summertime the sun sets later, so then it starts and they can see how the lake changes because it's blue, and then by the time we come back, because a lot of my friends have kids now, and you find sticks and whatever the lake washes up, they play on, and as the adults walk, the kids swim along, and so you're kind of moseying, and then you walk to Lions Beach, the prize for the kids, they get to play on the playground, the adults get the rest, and then we walk back to Silver Beach, and hopefully our table's ready for us at Silver Beach Pizza.
Silver Beach Pizzeria, right?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break right now on that pizza note. This is John Smetanka, and with respect, and we're talking to Aliza Vetney, and Nikki Holt, who are the co-authors of a book just released called Discover St. Joseph. We'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Lisa Vetney and Nikki Holt, who are their companies, by the way. Lisa Vetney is Designed by Lisa, and Nikki is Nicolina Holt Photography. So, I now ask, if you had another project to work on together, what would it be?
Well, we've been discussing
that. You are now the dynamic duo of branding and photography.
Well, what we could do and what we really will do, I would love to do a book on University of Michigan because, again,
we are rivals. You know? But so we'll have to do Michigan State as well.
There's the reason why we can't.
I'm all for it. But reality sets in.
I don't know what we'll do. We haven't really thought about it. We're so excited about this. I think we're still in the honeymoon period of like, oh my goodness, it's here.
You've got a book. It's there.
Yeah.
We only have two books right now. But the rest are coming. They're arriving this week. So
and we just got this one Thursday. It's a little too new for us to think what the
next certainly is. Have. Plans to continue working together. We've enjoyed this, but we haven't settled down on a concrete, I guess,
yes,
project.
All right. Well, you're going to be having a signing or a presentation at Forever Books soon. When is that going to be?
April 29th at 1 to 3, so downtown St. Joe. And I'm excited. It's fun to take a book that we created together and release it to our community and share what we worked together and our love. I think it shows what we like and what we appreciate of our city and community.
When you were putting this together, and you, if I pick this book up, I might say, oh, this is great for my 7-month-old, but more actually a 3 or 4-year-old. Is that what you, I know you said that you designed it for all ages. But did you start off with this idea that it would be good for kids, or what?
The initial thought was a children's book, and then when we actually went and did it, we're like, wow, adults could really enjoy this. And, you know, the hope was that tourists will come, and this is a wonderful little souvenir they can bring back, and they can enjoy it, and their children can enjoy it as well, or even those without children. As a coffee table picture book, there's no reason why, you know, an adult could just buy it and to have as a souvenir, or locals as well.
The concept was, because we have art background, we appreciate books that our kids read that are well done. There's so many out there that we weren't really happy with. So we decided to do an alphabet book that we would love to give our kids and that they could appreciate the beauty of the common everyday thing, like a blossom and an apple, you know. That's how it all started. I think we got that goal.
Yeah.
Now you've got you have one advantage over most coffee table books. Most of them are huge, and they're best used as shields in fights between.
Yes, I know.
Aggressive
My
children.
Kids.
Yeah, there you go. However, this has the advantage of being thinnish, and you're not going to get much protection in a fight in this book.
No, however, it's more of a weapon, really.
Yeah, it's more of a weapon. That's right. Yeah. But this you could lay out for kids who come to your house and start them on the introduction to this, not only the alphabet, but the beauties of this particular area. I would be fascinated to come back here in 2 years and see what kind of reaction you get to this. Gee, I picked this up. My kid looked at the book first, and then he said, geez, I want to go see H and pick out that. it's sort of like a table of contents for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose different things that probably the child mm-hmm. can choose different things to come go see. I would think even more so than the adults.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last year, Pokemon Go was very popular, and because I was when we thought of the map that people could discover St. Joe, I thought, oh, will people really do that? But then last summer, Pokemon Go was such a big thing, and I saw people walking around to get all the Pokemon. I'm like, yes, I think they will really walk around
and
find.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
And having young kids. Being a mom of my kids used to be young, it's nice to have a goal for the child. Like, hey, let's find out, see. And then I was always happy because I got to walk somewhere and the kids excited. And you go to the sea and you're like, look, it's a sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids excited. And then you can go and you have another point of interest and the kids excited about it. So.
And with any luck, you won't have people killed walking around.
Let's hope not. With the book in front of their face.
We should have put a statement in there. Like,
we are not responsible for any injuries.
Because Pokemon Go or whatever it is, yeah. I've never gotten involved in it. It's very so absorbing. Mm-hmm. I do want to know. That's something for the Guinness Book of Records. You've got records for everything else. Mm-hmm. Number of people killed, number of people put in the hospital, a number of people, et cetera, mm-hmm. because of Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. I want to see what
That's
happens.
Funny.
So, I want to come back to one other thing. Your interest is portraiture, people.
And here I've done a landscape book. Is it?
No, but okay. What is the difference in how you choose a subject and how you express that subject? What are you looking for? You can't find emotion, strictly speaking, in a picture of the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could
I hope to evoke an emotion
when
you look at it. I don't have one answer that fits all. There were some letters in the book that were quite a challenge for us to find an interesting, aesthetically pleasing, you know, emotion building photo to photograph. But each one, I think, says something different. If you look at, I think it's D, which is driftwood. It reminded me of when you were talking about the fog and the mist. When you look at that picture, you get such a peaceful serenity from it. And then right opposite from it, we have the carousel that's a totally different. And you're like, wow, that looks fun. You know, it's bright colors and exciting. And so each photo on its own creates something different. And so I don't have, I guess, a one-fits-all answer for that. It's just a case-by-case when we'd brainstorm, okay, what are we going to do for this letter? And I would go out there and photograph. And sometimes I have ideas in my mind ahead of time, and I go out there and I'm like, that didn't work. Plan B. Or you have to go on the fly and see what happens.
Like Kay, we had a different goal. And then we were at Tisconia and together working on this book, and there were kite surfing. And I'm like, Nikki,
we've got to get
We have a new
surfers.
K.
Yeah, we have a new K. You can pass that up, you know. So yeah, it changed daily.
It just happened.
Sometimes people will talk to me about what they want to do with their lives,
mm-hmm.
And I always say this: when you're going to make a decision about your life, block out 3 hours, mm-hmm. go down to the beach, and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk the beach. In the first 2 hours, don't think about anything. Listen to the waves. Listen to the wind. Listen to the gulls. And let them take you into a sort of a trance in which your gut can finally speak to you as to what you want to do. And I've always thought that was, I've done it myself, and I see that picture with the driftwood for D,
mm-hmm.
and I think, how many times do we walk along and not think about where that driftwood came from? Where did it come from? What worlds has it seen?
Mm-hmm.
And with all the erosion we have on the dunes these days, mm-hmm. it could have been there 200 years and all of a sudden it's now out mm-hmm. on the water. Yeah. It's fascinating.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So you pick, and I love L. You know, I'm telling you, we're taking away all the pleasure for the people.
Well, it'll be surprised. Now they can't wait to look at it.
Well, yes. Seriously, take a look at one of the things that people who come to this community during the holiday season mm-hmm. will remark about is the lights along the beach, along the bluff. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's fascinating. it's evocative. Mm-hmm. And I can see the next generation coming up, telling their kids, oh, when we were kids, there was this beautiful mm-hmm. lights along the bluff. You just have to be there to see it. We got to go back to St. Joan to take a look at those mm-hmm. lights at Christmas.
We're so lucky that we live here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. It truly is a wonderful place to live.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is.
It is.
And whether you're from someplace else or you're here, the longer you're around, the more we tend to forget or we tend to not appreciate because we don't see it. We're not like you guys were out there looking at this community for the alphabet and you're out there grabbing images. How many times have the rest of us, who just go to work every day in St. Joe or Benton Harbor, whatever it is, and they don't see the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't see the river. They don't see the lighthouse even. It's just a blur. This is, I got to get to work.
Mm-hmm. You drive by it real quick. And,
Yeah.
Go like, well, there it is.
And, yeah.
if we were in Chicago, I would say how many people have gone to the top of the John Hancock or the Sears Tower or whatever they call it these days. Mm-hmm. And I would dare say the first time I did it was I was taking a tourist up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then I got the chance to see that in there through their eyes. Mm-hmm. So now, you've got some ideas, however. You haven't focused on it, what you're going to do next. But you like each other's work and you like working with each other. What kind of a project do you think it'll be? Will it be people or will it be things or places?
I really have no idea.
We have lots of, we both, I think, always have lots of ideas tossing around in mm-hmm. our heads, and balancing family.
Mm-hmm.
Families
mm-hmm.
is a big issue, and we both have our own businesses and our own families and whatnot. And then coming back to those ideas and then finding, I mean, this book took us like longer than we wanted to. But
how long did it take?
Two years. Yeah. It was a learning process. And
well, yes.
Weather was not always cooperating.
Yes, because we didn't want, even though we love the sunset, you can't have all sunsets. Well, you can, we thought we'd have some variety.
Yeah. We had a guest here who took pictures only mm-hmm. of the lighthouse
mm-hmm.
and made a book.
We've seen it. It's beautiful.
Isn't it a gorgeous book? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen. It has been a pleasure talking to both of you. This has been a lot of fun. I thank you for coming on and talking about your book, Discover St. Joseph, and all the things that led you to put this together and the neat uses it can be. And you say as a weapon.
I say
as an introduction to a wonderful community.
Aww.
So thank you, Lisa Vetney and Nikki Holt. They are the co-authors of Discover St. Joseph, of an alphabetical book of the city of St. Joseph. This is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect, and we're on every Sunday and Thursday. And until next time, remember our mantra: if you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.